Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48, titled, When He Cometh. In this study, we will discuss the future of the saints and loss of rewards, as well as gaining rewards. This includes a controversial issue found in this text where Jesus speaks of beatings and stripes. And some actually teach this as a literal prophecy of beatings taking place at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will explain why we do not believe that this was literal, but was hyperbole and taught as a parable in reference to loss of rewards for some. But we do believe what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and elsewhere, that some will have regrets at the judgment and will suffer loss of reward. God's Word gives us plenty of reason to surrender to the Spirit of God and live our lives in such a way as to be storing up treasure in heaven. Questions, comments, or prayer requests can be sent to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support the ministry by sending those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us and donate through our website at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 through 48, titled, When He Cometh. This is part one of two.
All right, a current events update. One, two headline reviews in the news. Number one, question. If the vaccine works, why such concern about the unvaccinated? Several of us already talked this morning is that what you're seeing today is not science. It's scientism. It's a cult. It's a mental cult that you have to simply accept what's told you without critically thinking. Now, that they've made the job easy because for the last 30 years or so, the public schools have not taught children how to think critically. Mm-hmm. It'll always produce atheists and agnostics. Because if you think critically, there's too much evidence for the existence of God, the veracity of Scripture, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to not be a Christian. But as long as a person doesn't think critically, they remain in unbelief. And we've got some books and videos of those who are interested on those subjects. Could it be that the vaccines are not working? As designed, at least. We don't know what they're actually doing and won't know for a long time. This is from OAN. China virus breakthrough cases among fully vaccinated reveal vaccine much less effective than predicted. It's not an opinion, it's fact.
As breakthrough cases of the virus continue to climb, evidence suggests the vaccines are not nearly as effective as the media and medical establishment predicted. Here's One America's Pearson Sharp.
With a surge in new Delta variant cases around the country, growing evidence suggests the vaccine isn't nearly as effective as the mainstream media and medical establishment insist that it is. One America News visited an urgent care center in Southern California, where doctors say roughly 40% of their new COVID cases are among fully vaccinated patients. One such patient, Brian Conway, was fully vaccinated when he came down with a severe case of the China virus and very nearly died.
So, Brian, you got the vaccine, and then you later came down with coronavirus. Tell us about it.
Basically, I got the vaccine in early March, the first shot and the second shot.
Which variety was it?
From Pfizer.
Pfizer vaccine.
Pfizer vaccine from March 1st and March 22nd or 3rd. So I was fully vaccinated. About a month ago, on a Thursday, I got a headache, which is very unusual for me to get a headache. And I just felt absolutely horrible. I got tested and turned up positive. Monday morning, I showed up here with Dr. Tyson.
And how severe were your symptoms when you came in here?
I'm 67 years old, and I've never in my life felt that bad.
So you couldn't breathe?
I couldn't breathe at all. I mean, it was very bad. You know, when you lay in bed for 8 days and just absolutely cannot breathe, it was very worrisome.
And so when you came in here and Dr. Tyson prescribed you medicine, how quickly did you recover?
I felt better within 3 days.
So it was a pretty quick turnaround.
Pretty quick, yes.
Do you think that his treatment saved your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely saved my life. Without his treatment, I don't think I would be sitting here.
We spoke with Dr. Brian Tyson, who explained that he's seeing a high number of breakthrough cases just like Conway's, contradicting the CDC's claims that the vaccine is the solution to the pandemic.
Now, what I'm about to tell you can't be considered scientific, but it's just something that a critical thinker would think, and that is, number one, think about how often you see people going into the hospital and put on ventilators and they die, compared to people who get treatments that don't include a ventilator. And some of their treatments you're being told you shouldn't take, like hydroxychloroquine and zinc together and other, I don't know, there's several different doctors with several different regimens that they've had 100% cure rates. But the experts are telling you to go in and then they want to put you on a ventilator right away. And I mean, there are all other questions that you can ask. You know, keep asking questions, think critically. And I want this to be understood. BBF is not anti-vaccine. If you choose to get a vaccination, that's between you and God. We are simply opposed to forced vaccination.
Yeah.
And we're opposed to lies.
Yes.
And this is the culture we live in today, is so wicked and godless that we are the bad guy because we don't want forced vaccinations in violation of your God-given human rights and against the Nuremberg Code and against your Constitution. And we don't want you lied to.
Yeah.
And we're the bad guy. We believe in honest, informed decisions. And two, this is connected. China continues to threaten war. And if you're not watching real news, you may not even know this is happening. China warns Taiwan independence means war as U.S. pledges support. I'm going to give you the facts behind China and Taiwan before I give comments. China and Taiwan have had separate governments since the end of the Chinese Civil War in 1949. Beijing has long tried to limit Taiwan's international activities, and both have vied for influence in the Pacific region. Two, tensions have increased in recent years, and Beijing has not ruled out the use of force to take the island back. Three, although Taiwan is officially recognized by only a handful of nations, its democratically elected government has strong commercial and informal links with many countries. And four, like most nations, the U.S. has no official diplomatic ties with Taiwan, but here's the linchpin on the grenade that will blow. A U.S. law does require it to provide the island with the means to defend itself. So if China tries to take over Taiwan, the United States military will send over, like we have the Taliban. Our military has armed the Taliban so they can get a war going on again over there.
Yeah.
And they're going to arm Taiwan, so that Taiwan can fight. Well, that's considered an act of war by China. And so that will escalate things. If you ever study the wars that we've gotten into, it always starts with something little. And that leads to this, which leads to that, which leads to this and that, and then you have a full-blown war. And all informed believers must keep an eye on China. I believe, this is my personal belief, based on the evidence I've seen, that the China virus, which your ridiculously evil news media refuses to call a China virus, They don't even call it Wuhan, do they? They just call it COVID-19.
Yeah.
That virus leaked from the Wuhan lab that Tony Fauci and other Americans funded, and that was done, I believe, on purpose.
Amen. That's right.
And I believe it is the first shot fired in this war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are to destroy America. They've got to take down your economy. They've got to weaken your military. And they need a senile reprobate to be your president. And you're going to find a lot of this stuff going on with the election will go right back to China. And Revelation 16:12 says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared." This is all setting the stage for eventually what will be Armageddon. And Jesus said, when you see these things start to happen, look up.
Amen.
Why? Because when it's full blown, we'll be out of here.
No.
But you can see these things starting to happen and look up. A lot of teachers think they're being real smart, and you know, there's no sign for the rapture. See, that's a half truth. There is no sign for the rapture. It could happen any moment. But when you see the signs leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ happening, then you know the rapture must be close.
Amen.
Here in the next few weeks, you're going to start seeing Christmas decorations going up in September. That means Thanksgiving is getting close. See? Actually, it just means it's football season. As soon as Christmas decorations go up, it's football season. That's what it is. Luke 12, if you can get your Bibles open. If you came for the right reason, then this is it right here.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
Luke 12, verse 41, where we'll pick up. And I'll have you join in and read the even verses with me. I'll begin in verse 41. "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." God's people say amen.
Amen.
So after being told to be ready for his return at any moment, we close with verse 40. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Then Peter asked the question, "Speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" So Peter's asking for some clarification of what was just taught. And it's interesting, because when he says, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all," that's a key question for understanding God's word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to pay attention to who the passage is directed to. If not, then you'll see God telling somebody to build an ark, I'm sorry. And then Ken Ham built one.
Yeah.
That's a joke. I know he didn't do it on purpose. I mean, he didn't do it for that reason. But how many people you know go back and grab something from the Bible and fling it against the wall and say, that's for me? And then you realize, no, it's not. How many of you have heard about putting out a fleece?
Yeah.
That's not something you ought to do. Gideon was not a born-again Christian with the Spirit of God dwelling in him.
Amen.
You are.
Amen.
Gideon didn't have a Bible.
Amen.
You do. Amen. With the Word of God at your fingertips and the Spirit of God in you, there's no reason for you to be putting out fleeces. Amen. God and His Word will guide you. And you say things like, well, how is it going to guide me on how to buy, I got to buy a new car. How is the Bible going to guide me on that? Well, He'll tell you to be wise. He'll tell you not to be a sucker. He'll tell you to look at that car and drive it around, have somebody else who knows what they're doing look at it to make sure it's not a piece of garbage that's going to break down on you. He'll tell you to look it up in the book and make sure it's worth what they're charging. I mean, he tells you to be a good steward. He tells you to use wisdom, and so that helps you buy a car. Put out a fleece, you're liable to end up being suckered, like I was one time, man. I got this black Oldsmobile, man, and this looked so nice. And I put some, you know, the fluffy stuff on the steering wheel. And I had the dice hanging from the rearview mirror. All the important stuff I covered. And then I'm heading down the road, and all of a sudden I look back, and there's blue smoke coming out the back. And it starts going, boom, boom, the death throes. I pull off, get off the road, have the thing towed in, sitting in the waiting room like I'm in the emergency room. My car's on life support. And out comes the surgeon, all greasy. Opens his hand up and shows me that there's sawdust in the oil. It's an old trick just to get you out of the parking lot and down the road a little ways before the car blows up on you. I didn't have anybody looking at it. I didn't call up my dad. He's helped me since then many times. I didn't call anybody or talk to anybody who knew anything about anything, and I certainly didn't know anything. So that's how the Word works. Amen?
Amen?
But if the Bible tells you to do something and you think, oh, that's for me, but it's not for you, it can actually get you in trouble. I've referred to this before. There are some people who know just enough Bible to be dangerous. And that's what I'm talking about. Nick, can I have you shut those doors so we can keep the air conditioner in here? I mean, it gets too hot. I'll have to switch my topic to hell.
It's warm in here. You ready? Well, it's like the Jeremiah 29:11 verse, and out of context, people claim that. You know, behold, the plans I have for you.
That's a perfect example.
You look at it before and after. It's talking about the destruction of Israel.
Habakkuk talks about, he says, I'm going to do a new thing, and it'll make your ears tickle. It'll be so, you know. And you look at what he's saying, he's talking about wiping them out. And I've told the story of two different churches that I saw put that as their theme verse out on their sign. And like, wait a minute. I wanted to stop and say, you realize you're putting a verse, God's talking about destroying you if you're in apostasy. That's not a, you know, but that's what happens when you don't ask the question Peter just asked.
Amen.
Who are you talking to, Lord? All of the Bible is written for us. Can you say that with me? All of the Bible is written for us. Now say this, but not all of it is written to us. You are not told to worry about eating fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not told on every year, Easter time, there's these people who have Passover Seders. They're all fake unless they kill a lamb.
In Jerusalem.
You see people all the time claiming to have Passover Seders. Where in the Bible is there a Passover Seder where God says, oh, by the way, you don't have to kill a lamb anymore? There's only one Passover. It includes killing a lamb. Now, you say, well, then why don't we do that? Because Jesus is our Passover. So we don't have Passover Seders, because if we did, we'd have to kill a lamb, and that'd be blasphemous. Jesus has already paid for our sins. So forth, so on, and what have you. Here's the key verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Some of you know this by heart. If so, close your eyes and say it with us. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you got to ask questions about what?
What's right and what's wrong?
Context.
Context.
Yeah, some of you old timers know the three rules for interpretation. The first three rules are context, context, context. Brother Charlie was quoting my three rules back at me the other day. And it's true. You better find out the context, which is what Peter is talking about. And an interesting note, Jesus doesn't answer directly. He doesn't just say, this is to this person or this these people. Why? Because as we saw when we went through this, he went back and forth. There were times where he was talking about things that only pertained to the group in front of him. Then he spoke prophetically past the church age into the Great Tribulation period. So you've got to ask these questions. And if you don't have spiritual discernment, well, if you want to see what happens to people who don't have spiritual discernment and don't follow these rules, just turn on TBN. You'll see plenty of examples. But back in Luke 12, then, verses 42 and 43, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Number one, it's not the Watchtower Society. They claim this verse and claim that Jesus was talking about an organization that would come into existence in the late 19th century in Brooklyn, New York. And that's not... Jesus is asking a question. He's not prophesying. He's asking, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Is it you? See, this is one of those fun ones because it could be. He could be talking about you. And verse 43 says, read that with me. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You want to be that faithful and wise steward? You can. If you are rightly dividing the word of truth and you are sharing the message of the gospel and the message of the word in general to the people in your life, then you qualify. And blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The promise of reward is only to those who do. That Christianity is not a spectator sport. No. You're all on the team. The only time you're a bench warmer is when you're sitting in here under the teaching of the word. The rest of the time, you're supposed to be in the game. You want to call it a race? Paul called it that. You want to call it a fight? Paul called it that. However you want to think of it. You're supposed to be engaged, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's another way of putting it. James said this in James 1:22, be ye what?
Doers
of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are a lot of people who listen to the Bible, listen to teaching, and do squat. No, I didn't say squats. They do squat. They don't do anything. They're not a doer. J.C. Ryle, a great Anglican, when he wasn't preaching Anglican heresy, he had some great commentary on the Bible. And he says this, we hear a great deal about people's intentions and hopes and wishes and feelings. That's the big one today. Oh, yeah. And professions. It would be well if we could hear more about people's practice. It is not the servant who is found wishing and professing, but the servant who is found doing, whom Jesus calls blessed.
Amen.
Get busy. We keep this rack filled with gospel tracts, fellowship track league, chick.com. Take them as long as you'll give them away.
Amen.
Keep your arsenal full and give out those gospel tracts. And that's when you can't talk to somebody. When you can talk to somebody, talk to them. Pretend you're just talking about the weather. Just pretend. Say, you know, like, say, "Boy, beautiful day. I don't think it's supposed to rain today." No one ever has trouble talking about the weather. "Boy, isn't it wonderful to be saved? Are you saved?"
Okay.
Show, tell us, what do you do, John? Give us one of your one-liners. I had to put him on the spot, yeah, but he's got a million of them.
Come on, Charlie.
Well, I tried to become a friend with him in the first minute. And then I asked him, are you interested in history? Are you interested in science?
In other words, don't slap them, punch them, spit on them, you know, be nice to them.
So I find out what they're thinking, then I use that as the hook.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the wrong way to do it?
Not doing it.
Not doing it. Yeah. Somebody say, "Well, that wouldn't work for me." Well, what works for you? If it's not illegal and not against the scripture, there's no wrong way of doing it. Doug?
Be a friend of